Welcome back to Sports with Neil and Friends here on Blog Talk Radio. Neil Roberts, Victor Vargas, and Zach Mitchell coming to you live from various locations throughout Washington State. Talk about the first week of college football. Before you do that, Victor, Zach, how are you gentlemen doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing
what
well.
Up, fam?
Very well. What's that? Kidding.
We're off to a rip-roaring start here, aren't we? Let's start. So Victor's answered. Your turn, Zach.
Oh, what's the question?
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing swell, Neil. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. what am I trying to do here? Oh, right. We're talking college football now. We're going to be talking a lot about our alma mater's loss to Eastern Washington. We're going to be talking a lot about FSU because that was a fun game. We're also going to make a little bit of fun of Dabo Sweeney and pretend that Washington's not sitting at number 8 in the AP poll because that's just ugly. So, first off, let's start with the fact that for the second straight season in a row, Washington State has lost to an FCS program at home at Martin Stadium to kick off the year. It's their fifth straight loss on opening day under head coach Mike Leach. Not their most embarrassing. That honor belongs to losing to Portland State last year. What are you guys thinking here?
Well, I've noticed on Twitter a lot of people are telling critics to say, oh, you got to just stay positive. And although I want to stay positive, I mean, it's very hard to do so when you lose a consecutive game to an FCS team, even one as good as Eastern. That's just
a good
my take
point.
On it.
FCS programs that lost to FCS teams are generally bad FCS programs. They're not the 2015 Washington State Cougars or the 2008 Oregon State Beavers that lost to Portland State. But Sacramento State. That doesn't happen. So normally, if you lose to an FCS squad, you're a bad FCS squad. Zach, what are your thoughts?
Well, with the game that we saw on Saturday, it looked like more of the same from a WSU team that we saw last year, where we were going to have shootouts where we looked great on offense, but the defense just couldn't put forward a good enough effort to hold off the opponent. And I know Eastern Washington is a good squad themselves, but you know, it's a game they should have won, and the same goes for the Portland State game. It was almost a mirror image of that game last year, and it's starting the season off on a bad note, but there's plenty of football left ahead, and I know that this WSU squad plays up to their opponents, and I feel like we're going to have I feel like we're going to have some good matchups ahead of us. We got Boise State this week, and then we got in a few weeks after Idaho and the bye, Oregon and Stanford. So that's going to be the first real test, I guess, for WSU after Boise State.
Yeah, I'm still a little pissed about Eastern. I'm not going to lie. I was mentally prepared to lose to Eastern, and I wouldn't be as pissed if they hadn't lost to Portland State so unexpectedly last year. Can't lose FCS squads 2 years in a row. That's unacceptable. FCS programs get 20 less scholarships a year than you do. They don't have as much talent. Their talent pool is drastically less than what's available to FCS squads. It's unacceptable, especially when Cooper Kupp, a local product out of Yakima's Davis High School, goes out there and gets 206 yards against what was supposed to be one of the strengths of this defense, their secondary.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be more of the same than last year with the growing pains in the secondary. If Eastern Washington is able to shred the Cougars' secondary, you have to wonder what some of these Pac-12 squads, and specifically our neighbors to the west, UW, what they did at Rutgers last week. So, I don't know. There's reason to be concerned, but like I said, there's plenty of football left, and we do play it up to the opponents, so we'll have to see what transpires. Victor, what are your thoughts?
Victor's turn.
My thoughts are, my biggest concern is, that's supposed to be basically a gimme win, and without it, it could be the difference between getting a bowl game or not, because, although there's still I think the Cougs still have a really good offense. Gabe Marks, he played fantastic. It's probably the one positive thing that we can say about this game. Gabe Marks showed his talents, as well as Luke Falk, but...
Yeah, Falk, 41 of 51 passing for 418 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. But,
looks like he's
the
back
defense
in business.
Was just abysmal at times. They couldn't keep Cooper Kupp, right? They kept him open so often that it was just unbearable to watch. It was like, come on, guys. You've had to have studied tapes. You must know that he's, their best receiver. They're going to try to find him.
Right. And they found him a lot. Obviously the Cougs are missing Shalom Luwani, who's expected to be back versus Portland State. The starting safety who made that game-winning interception against Oregon last year was kind of a ball hawk back there in center field. It doesn't help when you're a true freshman backup and Taylor goes headhunting and gets himself ejected from the game, and he's now not available for the first half of the Boise State game either. The defense struggled mightily. I was kind of shocked how the defense didn't getting absolutely no push against the front seven the front five, the offensive line for Eastern Washington. That was a brand new offensive line. All five starters starting in their first game. That was a brand new quarterback, his first game as well. He threw for 496 yards and had the game-winning 30-yard touchdown scramble. Both of those things are unacceptable, in my opinion.
Cougs did lose some good seniors on defense as well. I know Palacio is on the Seahawks practice squad right now. That's one name. And Destiny and a couple others as well. But as you said, unacceptable would be the words to put to that.
Yeah, you can't not get – I understand they struggle against Sierra through Eastern. I get that. They had one interception. I was hoping for one more, but, again, football's football. It's not always going to bounce your way. But the absolute lack of pressure on the Eastern quarterback consistently throughout the game, he had all time back there to throw, just mind-boggling against a green offensive line.
Yeah, and
exactly.
Another
– they had no – it didn't seem like they had any drive, which, I know that's a pretty vague term, but it's – the passion to actually go out and try to – there was obviously concern when they started keeping up with us in terms of actual points. I should have told them that, hey, you got to stop these guys because they came to play. They came to win. So, how are you going to respond?
Yeah, it was kind of – you got the sense of sleepwalking a bit on the opponents, and it's a strange thing to think about with a lot of the team returning – from last year, experiencing that season-opening loss to Portland State. So they knew that experience, and they knew that they needed to come out and set the tone against Eastern Washington. But just like Portland State was able to do, they were able to come out firing on all cylinders, and they badly wanted the win because they have everything to prove. They're not a Pac-12 team, so they want to come in and play their best game, and they did. And WSU made just enough mistakes to cost them another season opener under Mike Leach. Which brings me to a point real quick that the kicking game again this year, in one game, let us down with a missed 38-yard field goal midway through the fourth quarter. And Cougs did end up losing by 3, so... that is something that could be costly down the line for the Cougars if they're not able to get the kicking game more consistent. It cost them last year against Stanford in a big game that was almost a tremendous upset for WSU, but on to a new season,
yeah.
I guess.
Meet the same season, same as the meet the new season, same as the old season, in a sense. Real quick, put a bow on this disappointing loss to Eastern here for me. We'll start with Victor.
Sorry, I did not hear the question. What did you say, Neil?
Real quick, put a pretty bow on this ugly loss. Wrap this up so we move on.
The Cougars are just going to have to put it behind them because, I mean, it's done. So, hopefully, coming to Boise State, they're actually, especially the defense, is more focused.
I can go back to silver linings and Luke Falk. The receiving core is strong, as always. The offense is going to put up points. There's no doubt about that. And, I mean, we don't like to do this kind of thing, but if they come out with a win against Boise State, then you can be like, well, let's just pretend they beat Eastern Washington and they lost the other game. So if we come out 1-1, it's not terrible. Obviously, you want to look back at that loss at the end of the season. That's fine. But plenty of good tests ahead for WSU, and hopefully they get firing on all cylinders and are able to win the games that you expect them to win.
Yeah. For me, I've got this haunting image of 2013, sudden unexpected bowl season followed by a catastrophic 2014. I'm nervous that we could, in 2013, you lost a bunch of leaders on the offensive line and defensive line, and the program hit a brick wall and collapsed onto itself. And I don't think we'll see another 9-loss season this year. I wouldn't be shocked if this team had another fallback here like that. I hope not. I hope that they're able to rally again and pull off the improbable. But losing to an FCS program for the second year in a row doesn't look good. As I said earlier in this segment, only bad football teams lose the FBS program. Teams lose to a good FCS program as a general rule. So that's where I'm at here with this game. I'm not happy. I'm nervous about this season, whereas earlier I was confident. But we'll have to see what happens.
And how much does that loss, Neil, further? I'm not saying your current feeling of Leach is sour, but how does that impact your feeling of Leach going forward this season, based on what we've seen so far of him in the last 2 years?
Two bowl games in three years at WSU is not a program norm. If you can get them to a bowl game for a third year despite losing to another FCS program, that'd be sweet. But again, you got to look at it. You got to build. They have to build at this point. They're from the bottom up now. They have to keep building. I mean, they're still building the program into a winning powerhouse, and they have to. It's going to take a while. There's a culture that has to be erased, and unfortunately, it seems like they're still having to get rid of that. Okay. Victor wanted to talk about the Florida State game and how entertaining that was. So let's let Victor open up that discussion.
Yeah, well, I was at my friend's house. I just come in the door, and the game just happened to be on. They're not big college football fans, but, I mean, they're football fans in general, so they were really excited to just watch any kind of football, and there just happened to be the Florida State game against Ole Miss. And, I mean, to my shock, Ole Miss was ahead by 28 points. They had 28 points while Florida State only had 13. So it was like, oh, crap, this is a potential upset. So I had to watch it, and it looked pretty grim for Florida State, at least by the end of halftime. But, I mean, amazingly enough, they managed to come back, which – they seem to have a habit of doing, at least that program does. And what's amazing is they didn't need Jameis Winston, that freshman quarterback. I forgot his – it's embarrassing. I forgot his name.
Let me get that here for you. DeAndre Francois.
Yeah, that's what it is, Francois. Yeah, I mean, for him to step it up like that in his first game as a freshman against, you know, number 11 in the country, I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I think it's really early to tell, but I mean, I think that kid has potential to be a star in the NFL, but just talking about him in the present, he's definitely a hero at Florida State. I don't know, did you guys manage to catch the game at all?
No, I didn't catch the Florida State game. I did take a look at the highlights, and I was very impressed with Florida State's ability to come back after being down 28-13 at the half. But it's just, you know, Francois' numbers look pretty good. It looked like he had a pretty good night, you know, 33-52, 8.1 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no turnovers is always pretty nice. Also helps that he picked up 59 yards on the ground as well. So there's a lot of good things there for the Seminoles to take away from their young starting quarterback in his first start, as Victor stated. Laugh at Ole Miss for surrendering a 15-point lead like it did, please. Just a moment to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
But what should also be mentioned is, I mean, Francois was getting pounded. I mean, their O-line was just, he was not helping him at all. So, I mean, he played with a limp throughout most of the second half.
Which is always exciting to watch your freshman quarterback doing.
No, yeah, it's in long-term terms, it's a bad thing. They definitely have to fix that because that's it's definitely a weakness on their part.
What do you think, Zach?
I didn't catch much of the game other than highlights, so I don't have much of anything to add there.
Yeah, it's understandable. It wasn't a game that was on my radar until Victor brought it up. And watching it on ESPN and the, you know, the Fox Sportsnet and all the regular TV stations out there, I like to cover these sports things. But it was, you know, Ole Miss came in at number 11. That's now, you know, speaking of Ole Miss, there's 7 SEC teams open up the season with a loss for the first time in conference history. Yeah. Including a couple of embarrassing losses to either non-Power 5 or one FCS program as well. So it was a bad weekend for not just the Pac-12, but the SEC. And that has to make the Big 12 and Big 10 very happy.
I'm sorry, not to glow, but I mean, I do love that SEC, that they got basically dumped on. Just because, I mean, it's just, you know, you hear about the SEC all the time. It's like, well, there are other leagues around. I understand these is like the most pretty high profile division or league, whatever you want to call it. But it's like, I think the media sort of overkills it at times. So it's nice to see those upsets.
I'm wholeheartedly behind SEC tiers, Zach. What about yourself?
I am too.
Okay. Alrighty. So, talking college football, you can't end SEC. Let's take a look at that Clemson-Auburn game really quick. Dabo Swinney made a kind of baffling decision. Everyone does that from time to time. But Clemson's up by a couple of points. Take a look here. We just had that up. Clemson's up by 6. They have the ball 4th-and-1 in field goal range. Sweeney decides to go for it instead of kicking the field goal to make it a 2-possession game and put the game away at that point. Clemson gets stuffed. Auburn has the ball with a little over, right around a minute to go. Auburn wasn't able to do anything, but giving a Gus Malzahn offense that kind of time isn't a good idea.
Yeah,
what do you guys think?
I mean,
pretty gutsy call for the first game of the season.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. What do you think, Victor?
I mean, as you said, he's. I mean, everyone makes mistakes, even high-profile coaches. That's pretty hilarious that he would do that. I just want to imagine like the Clemson, their fans, like their faces when they saw that they were going for 4th-and-1. That's what I would have wanted to see at that point.
I mean, I'm all for being aggressive, but that was ill-advised, to put it politely.
Yeah.
If you're all for being aggressive, you'll love Cougars head coach Mike Leach.
Nice segue there, Zach.
Who, by the way, is...
All right.
Mike Leach is 1-8 in openers.
0-5 for the Cougs.
Yeah.
Getting back.
So, I mean, maybe, guys, it's just the way it is.
I mean,
he
the segue I was
$2 million
really
a year. Over $2.5 million a year. The guy should win an opener once in a while.
I mean, don't worry.
Back to the point.
His contract is prohibitive. Jesus Christ, I can't talk. So, even if you don't like him, you're stuck.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. Again, 2 bowl games in 5 years. That's pretty rare for the program. 2 in the last 3 is even more rare. Leach has earned some rope with the athletic department other than his contract being so big.
Oh, no, I agree with you. It's just there's a good argument right there that you can make whenever next time you hear someone complain about Mike Leach, because, I mean, you hear it all the time because people just look at the salary he's making and then just like to complain about it.
Yeah, but losing to FCS squads is unacceptable. I mean, granted, Mike Price lost to Idaho twice, but we don't like to talk about that either.
Who? Just kidding.
I mean,
if he wins those games,
nobody talks about the salary.
Right. If you beat East Portland State last year, this loss to Eastern isn't nearly as upsetting or frustrating. Just drives me absolutely up a wall. You lose to FCS teams twice in a row. How do you let Cooper Kupp go for 206 yards? How? Why?
Cooper Kupp is a good wide receiver. We'll have to give him credit for that. He did. I'm pretty sure I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he tore up UW as well last year or the year before they played Eastern Washington.
2014.
And UW only won by a touchdown there, but they still pulled out the win. Just something WCU easily could have done on Saturday.
If the defense can at least hold Eastern to the field goal in one of those third quarter drives, or, you know, stops the Gubbard from scoring on a 30-yard scramble.
Yeah.
That game was just full of flashback and nightmare feel.
Yeah, it kind of had some deja vu feeling to it in Portland State and a few other games last year with that big scramble that you mentioned, like against Stanford with Kevin Hogan, just with those phantom scrambles up the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That game makes me move. My blood boil. Well, trying to get back to college football, what were some of the other story guidelines you guys saw out there that made it some interest to you during week one or in the aftermath of week one? Really, I'm trying to get you to make fun of Dave Sofimole like you were in our text thread, Zach. That's all I'm asking you to do here.
He's just as passionate as we are, Neil.
Yeah, but he went to Bellevue Community College, so. I've had it with Dave Sofimole, but I don't know why you follow him on Twitter. I stopped after the whole flag thing a couple years ago when game day went to UW. So. 3 years ago now.
I think I know what story you're talking about, yeah.
Speaking of the Huskies, it was a nice win on Saturday for them against an awful Rutgers squad.
Yeah.
But
I caught some
really
of that,
worth that.
It was brutal to watch.
In the top 10?
Quite a jump, but I mean, I don't desire those things, but obviously we know UW's going to be a strong opponent this year for any Pac-12 team, but seemed like pretty much a huge jump to beat that Rutgers team and then just skyrocket into the top 10 like that. But it is what it is.
Seven spots,
we'll
right?
Have to see how it plays
That's
out.
What they jumped, seven spots?
Yeah.
I don't even think they should have been in the top 15 to begin with, to begin the season with at the preseason. I'm still not sold on the offensive line or their receiver core. Yeah, they torched Rutgers, but I don't know. I think they're a little bit overrated. So
yeah, I think regarding that ranking too, those upset the SEC were handed. I think that was part of the factor, but I mean, like you guys said, it is kind of a big jump, even when you take into account all the upsets that happened this week.
Right. No, absolutely. It was a mind-boggling decision for that. I won't understand it, and I won't understand anyone who tries to justify it, because it's a little high. For me.
And they've got a cupcake schedule for the next three games, at least, I believe. So it's like, do they, people, and the coaches poll and all that stuff, is that going to see the scores of those games and say that reaffirms what they believed about the Huskies at the beginning of the season, and they're going to go even farther up than eight? We'll have to see. I'm blanking on the Huskies' next opponent. I knew it earlier. Do you remember the next bonus? Idaho, yeah. So
Victor and I were talking about what would happen if Idaho somehow, by a miracle, would pull off the upset win. Would Pullman or Moscow burn down first?
I don't know, but it'd be a joint celebration between the two schools to bring everybody together. So it'd be both a good thing and a bad thing for the Palouse, I'd say. What about you, Victor?
I want to clarify. I didn't say just an upset win. I said like a thrashing, like somehow the band.
Okay, a thrashing might be going far, but I mean, that would be nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Pullman has more people who care. No offense to Vandals fans out there, but
I'm getting good feedback from Neil's side of the call, but Victor's kind of cutting out here.
Well, it's not me because I removed my headset, so it's got to be Victor.
Victor is in
Eastern
Washington.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
We're just throwing you under the bus, Victor. Don't pay attention to us.
Well, to just not reiterate what I said, I think Pullman would probably burn down first because I feel like more people are there who actually care about that kind of upset. But no offense to Vandals fans out there.
I mean, they play in the Kibbe Dome. How excited can Vandal fans get about Saturday night?
Oh, man. I mean, just the name, dude, the Kibbe Dome.
It's the ASUS cable Kibbe Dome. Oh, yeah. I'm going to throw shade at Idaho's direction all day, every day.
Not as much shade as you'd see in the game at a Kibbe Dome, though. Oh, I just botched that. My bad.
That was it. The intent was there. The execution was not, Zach. I give you a 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
I'll take it and run with it.
There you go. That's more than Idaho's probably going to be able to do on Saturday. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a great night.
Later.
Well, that was fun, gents.
Did
I think
turn it off?
Fun.
How long it's been since we've done one of these, it was pretty good.
I thought we were going to make the obvious SEC to Texas A&M to Seahawks segue that Jermaine Ifedi may now be injured for week one for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that just just popped into timelines, and people are not happy.
Can you blame them?
Like, why can we not get this offensive line settled? It looked like it was going good going to week one, and then we lose our breakout candidate. Well, he's a rookie, but breakout candidate nonetheless.
Yeah. No, it's frustrating. The offensive line will continue to be the bugaboo.
Bugaboo.
So I just want you guys to know, I'm just going to constantly tell you guys that we need to talk about random football games. It's just going to happen.
That works.
So, like, fine.
Does the 8 o'clock time work for you guys?
If it's an hour show, yeah, but if it goes longer and if I have to work the next day, it won't be as good.
It's free,
yeah,
only a half hour
tomorrow.
Long.
But I should prepare more next time. It would help also if we like wrote down what we're going to talk about, like topics and when we're supposed to segue them. But I don't know. We could just free ball it.
Free balling is kind of fun.
Yeah, I have to work tomorrow. The next 3 days, and then I only have Sunday off, which is going to be like an all football day, probably.
Yeah.
Well, depending on who Sunday night football is, I guess. I may just watch the Seahawks. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah. You guys want to move this conversation over to the Xbox?
I can do that for a little bit. But Victor's probably itching to play Overwatch with Rachel.
Well, I haven't seen them online.
I played with them like two matches earlier, and they went to go see that Sausage Party movie.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it's such a terrible movie.
It sounded funny, but then people said it had some sort of like religious agenda, and I was like, what?
No, I can't pick that up on the trailer, Zach. That's the point. I picked that up in the trailer. That's why they called the people like the Great Beyond or some shit like that. I was like, oh, it's going to be, because it's Seth Rogen. He's an atheist. So I was like, oh, it's going to be a anti-religious thing.
I thought it was like a pro-religious thing. And I was like, I don't want to be like converted in my comedy movie. But if it's like atheist Seth Rogen, then I'm fine with it.
It's not like propaganda. It's just, I already know where the story's going to go. They think that going to a person's house is amazing, but it turns out that they just get eaten and die.
Sounds like a really funny movie, but I'm probably going to wait for it to, like, be on demand.
I'm just
going to
wait for, like, Redbox or some shit.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah.
No, Netflix will take
I'm
like 8 years to go.
I'm
going
to log into my Xbox, gents.
All right. See you in a sec.
Bye.
See you on the Xbox.